climb in and hold on.
We're driving the conversation.
It's the Joel and Thomas Show, powered by Teton Toyota.
If you're just joining us, I am talking by phone with Dr. Carol Lieberman. Dr. Lieberman is a forensic psychiatrist, a trial witness expert, and columnist of Inside the Criminal Mind. And we are talking about the fact that a jury has just convicted Jennifer Crumbly on all four accounts. And of course, Jennifer Crumbly is the mother of school shooter Ethan Crumbly. Dr. Lieberman, thank you so much for lending your expertise to this very, very interesting topic.
Well, you're very welcome. I was very passionate about this case. You know, what I'm most passionate about, actually, is poor Ethan Crumbly. Now, I know, you know, he did a terrible thing, obviously, shooting his students, and I'm not trying to excuse him in any way. However, he really got the worst of this. You know, he... excuse me, accepted a plea for life in prison without the possibility of parole. And there's something wrong with him psychologically. There has been for years and years. And I don't think that he should have been allowed to make that decision, because I don't think that he was competent, you know, besides, of course, being a minor. I don't think he was competent to make that kind of a decision. And now I don't know if there's any chance of reversing it. But, you know, he apparently said during his sentencing that, "I don't blame my parents, it's not their fault, blah, blah, blah." Well, you know, and yes, that was the other thing I was worried about with the jury, that maybe some of them had seen that. That was a big deal, of course, in their town. And so if he's saying it's not my parents' fault, then I was worried that some of them were going to think it's not his parents' fault. But, you know, that was all part of his mental illness, or part of the way that he was brought up, you know, blaming himself for everything. He said, "I'm a terrible person." So he was blaming it all on himself. "I deserve to be in prison for life." Well, you know, well, this is all part of the parents who made him feel like he was a terrible person.
Certainly, when you understand that this went back as far as it did, and I think that's something that a lot of people don't really recognize. They think that, oh, this was 6 months to a year prior to this, but this is a really disturbing pattern. So what would you say to parents? What do they need to look out for? What are those obvious red flags?
Well, first of all, the biggest one is if your child asks for mental health help, give it to them, because children are very, you know, sometimes they're scared to ask for help, or they're ashamed, or they don't want you to think they're crazy. So it's a really big deal if they do come out and ask for it, and you should absolutely jump to it right away. That's the first thing. Second of all, if you have a child who's spending hours and hours, you know, they come home from school and they spend hours and hours on violent video games, that is something that should not be allowed. And clearly, you need to take them somewhere and give them some interesting extracurricular activities, not necessarily a gun range. But you know, some kind of sports or some kind of lessons or some spending time with them. Now, of course, her excuse was, you know, he could have always come to the horses, but he just wasn't interested in that. Okay, well, then if he's not interested in that, spend some days with him doing something he is interested in.
Right.
You can't keep making excuses, you know, for why you want to. This is a big problem in America. You know, it's all over the world, but especially in America, it's a big problem that a lot of parents are really kind of like spending time doing things, you know, having their own childhood. I mean, having their own, being too self-indulgent, and not realizing how important it is for them to be spending time with their kids. And so so that's a big part of it, too. And if you see that if your child doesn't have any friends or has one friend, that's a big, you know, warning sign, too, that there's something wrong. And you just have to... you know, there is these days with people doing mental health, you know, psychiatrists, psychologists, all kinds of mental health professionals doing therapy online more than ever, you know, ever since COVID, there is no excuse to not have, to not provide your child with a therapist.
You know, Dr. Lieberman, as you were talking about the compassion that you feel for Ethan, my heart goes out to him as well, because he really was trying to get that help. And had he been able to get that help, we might be not here talking about this tragic case. One thing that stands out to me as well about this case is on the day that this happened, he was visibly upset after that meeting, and the school wanted her to take him home, and she said she couldn't because she had work. So another example of not really prioritizing the well-being of Ethan.
Right, right. And there were two parents there, you know, one of them certainly could have taken care of him, done something with him. You know, at the very least, you see your child, just, she even admits that he was sad. So, excuse me, so at the very least, if you know your child is sad, then take him somewhere, walk in the woods, you know, do something with him, get him to talk to you about what's making him feel sad. Yes, that was, you know, if one of those adults were to look in the back and seen the gun, you know, I mean, just something super simple. And of course, the school could have and should have called 911 and had police come and bring him to a psychiatric emergency room. That, you know, that would have changed things too. That would have at least postponed things. Would it have changed things? You know, not necessarily, not if he didn't continue to get help.
Right. You know, I think this is going to be eye-opening for parents and also for schools. Dr. Lieberman, going forward, what changes do you believe schools need to make to ensure that students like Ethan don't fall through the cracks?
Yes. Well, first of all, they need to start in elementary school and be more on the lookout for students who are having problems, you know, and to be provide school counselors, nurses, people, you know, with those kinds of credentials to talk to kids, like at least once a month, if not more. I mean, certainly more if they show some signs of something. But even if they just see a child always eating lunch by himself. But that's a sign. That's a sign that that child needs help. And so they need to you know, obviously they need to get the parents involved in getting the child help, but they need to do what they can do at the school as well. You know, the problem is there aren't enough school counselors or therapists or, you know, I mean, so many kids these days need help. Because of how crazy the world is, because of COVID interrupting their school, because just so many different things. But there needs to be a greater effort made.
Great insight and perspective. Dr. Carol Lieberman, thank you so much for giving us an inside look at this case.
You're very welcome.
All right. Have a good one.
Thank you.
And if you're interested in more of Dr. Lieberman's perspective, you can check out her column. It's called Inside the Criminal Mind. There's no question that today's groundbreaking verdict against school shooter Ethan Crumbly's mother, Jennifer, is going to set some precedent, and hopefully it will prompt the kind of conversations that will bring some much needed transformation.